Hello, thank you for coming to listen to our to my talk here and see what we have with regards to resistant varieties that Phytogen is offering to the cotton grower. Specifically, we have varieties that have resistance to root knot reform, well, root knot nematodes now and bacterial blight, and fusarium wilt, as developed by myself, Joel Mayhill, and Joe Johnson. There are various host plant resistance traits that we have been working with. Resistance to bronze wilt, bacterial blight, root knot nematode, reniform nematode, and fusarium wilt. With regards to bronze wilt, all Phytogen varieties are resistant to bronze wilt. I have yet to observe a plant with bronze wilt in any Phytogen variety. And how we developed these? Well, we have avoided all breeding with all lines having any parentage tracing back to Temcott SP37. So I see it as more as a matter of avoiding susceptibility as opposed to breeding for resistance. And our current approach is a zero tolerance for any susceptibility. If we see a susceptible line of plant in a line, that line is dead. I mean, we don't advance it. With regards to bacterial blight, we have several varieties that are resistant to bacterial blight, including Phytogen 375, Weisreit Roundup Flex, 339, as well as 575, and these latter two were introduced this past year. These lines were developed without selection for bacterial blight. You might call it serendipity. It just showed up. And how it was identified? It was identified in university trials with Dr. Terry Wheeler in Lubbock, Texas, as well as with Dr. Fred Borland in Kaiser, Arkansas. And that is a field screening approach that they identified those as being, particularly with 375, as being resistant early on. And our current approaches is specifically oriented toward the use of molecular markers, marker-assisted selection, and then with a confirmation in the field. I wanted to point out that I'm also doing a little site study to look at the inheritance of the linkage between root knot nematode resistance on chromosome 14 and the bacterial blight resistance. With regards to root knot nematode, resistance to root knot nematode is something that's very dear to my heart. I have spent a long time and a majority of my career on trying to develop resistance to root knot nematodes. And we have several varieties that have resistance to the root knot. Our first was Phytogen 367 WRF, and that has a moderate level of resistance. We see about a 60% reduction in nematodes at the end of the season as compared to susceptible varieties. And then this year, we're introducing two new varieties, 417 and 427, that have a high level of root knot resistance as derived by the addition of an additional resistance gene. So these varieties are homozygous for two genes for resistance to root knot. These varieties were developed by backcrossing the transgenic traits into conventional lines. These conventional lines were identified as being resistant by looking at the parentage and doing greenhouse and field screens to identify them as resistant. And then we backcrossed the transgenic traits into these conventional lines that had the traits. And then, specifically with the two new lines, the 417 and 427, we used molecular markers to confirm that one of the genes was segregating in that original conventional line, and that we fixed it in the transgenic version. So we used markers to confirm the high level resistance in these two varieties. And our current approaches, again, is marker-assisted selection with field and greenhouse confirmation that the resistance is actually present. I'd also like to mention that we have put some effort toward forward breeding, and that is developing new varieties with root knot resistance and the transgenic traits that did not have a conventional recurrent parent. This slide is some data that I took this fall. And what it is the average gall rating. I dug up five plants within a row and individually rated those five plants. And I averaged the five plants for each of these plots. And this is the average of three locations. A zero score indicated that I did not see any galls. So a zero means no galls. And a one meant one to very few. And a two was moderate. And then a three was severe. And you see that biotin 427 and 417, as well as this experimental line number four, derived from forward breeding, had very few galls, an average of a 0.5, which basically is saying on half the plants you see zero galls, and on half the plants you see one to a few. And I also like to point out that there's another line, 3003 line number 10, that has a moderate resistance. Again, it's homozygous for one of the genes, and it's segregating for the second gene. So it has a moderate level resistance to root knot nematodes. With regards to reniform nematodes, no phytogen variety currently is resistant to reniform, and I don't believe there is such thing on the market right now. But the USDA has identified germplasm that is resistant to reniform. Specifically of application to us is the Inca cotton GB713. This is a photoperiotic Gossypium barbadense line. It's very much unadapted, and it's a different species, but it has very good resistance to reniform. We have been working with this original line, as well as lines released by the USDA M713 REN 1 through 5. We have been working with these lines. And our current approaches are, as with root knot, marker-assisted selection with a field confirmation of resistance. Fusarium wilt race 4 is a very virulent pathogen in California, and we have several varieties that are tolerant, or we might say resistant to race 4. This would include phytogen 800, as well as phytogen 802 Roundup Flex and phytogen 805 Roundup Flex. Again, these lines, particularly the 800, was developed without selection for the trait. Again, this is where what you might call serendipity come into play. However, we identified that as being resistant in the field, as showing as quite tolerant to this pathogen. And we have developed molecular markers associated with resistance to this pathogen, and we are using marker-assisted selection to breed for this trait, and again, confirming resistance in the field. In summary, how the varieties that we had developed have resistance to these different pathogens has been mostly a serendipity or by chance. However, we have used, with regards to root knot in particular, resistant parents. And then we have screened those lines derived from resistant parents to see if they have the resistance. And then we, as identified through greenhouse and field screenings. Where we are today is that we are using markers that have been associated with genes for resistance to these different pathogens. And we are finding that molecular markers are a very valuable tool. It's allowing us to select for resistance that otherwise we would not be able to. And as far as the actual applications, we are exploring various options with regards to marker-assisted selection. But as far as the details, we're still in the development phase of that. And then I feel it's very important at the end of the day to confirm that the phenotype is actually present as indicated by the markers through field or greenhouse screenings. Presently, you could say very few varieties have significant resistance to disease pests of pathogens. And that raises the question of the durability of the resistance. And the question is, should we be concerned about the durability? If we have all predominantly susceptible varieties, it's not really a concern. But as molecular markers are used by the various companies, you can assume that there will be an increasing number of varieties available from the different companies that have resistances. And the question of, will this resistance break down, and how should we manage that? There are possibilities that we can explore. There's a possibility of deploying multiple different genes through in the different varieties as proposed by Cox and Hatchett, paper 1986. Another possibility is to pyramid multiple genes in the same varieties and to intermix 10 to 20% susceptible seed in that variety to maintain the susceptibility and the pathogen to these resistance genes. And there are surely others that I haven't thought about. The second option that I listed here below, you might could say is equivalent to a refuge in a bag, and it's one that I personally like. And with that, I'd be glad to entertain any questions you might have.
I know the first thing the grower is going to ask me when I talk about the 427 is going to say, well, what's the yield compared to the 499? They love 499, they like the yield potential. How do you approach that as a breeder and looking at two varieties of successful 499, which has tremendous yield potential, 427? Mm-hmm. 367 was not adopted widely simply because of the yield aspect. How does 427 compare to
499 and 367? Yes, the question is, how does the yield potential of our resistant varieties compare to current varieties, particularly 499? And as compared to 367 and 499, I see that the yield potential of these new highly resistant varieties are in between. It's certainly not equal to 499. And it's perhaps not as broadly adapted as 499. And that's another thing with breeding is it's hard to get all those apples, all those coons at one tree. And it's an ongoing process. It's an improvement over 367, but we're not up to 499 level in yield potential right now.
Do you recommend use of seed treatment amatocized for 427, or do you think it's
standalone? That might be a resistance management approach, but as far as significant enhancement of nematode control, I don't see that seed treatments really help.
In your bacterial blight screening, marker-assisted screening, are you targeting B12 or are you targeting a multitude of genes? Or can you not say?
The question is targeting of different races of bacterial blight in our screening.
Well, not the races, so well.
Well, we have. Well, the field screening, we haven't actually implemented any field screening. But we're...
This is for your markers that you're using to identify the...
Well, we have associated markers with resistance in, for example, 375, and we're using that gene going forward. And we're relying on screening by yourself and Dr. Borland for the resistance. I think that's all my time.
Oh, you have plenty of time. They're 20 minutes. Okay. We have plenty of time for questions.
Okay. Did I answer your question, Dr. Wheeler?
Well, I was wondering if you knew what genes specifically your markers were targeting.
I don't. Others in the company probably do, but I don't. I'm just a breeder.
I guess I'm a little bit concerned about the strongest of the genes, B12, is being targeted certainly by some companies. And I'm a little bit concerned about maybe using the complex which has kept that resistance solid for 30 or 40 years now. You know, we haven't had a shift from race 18 in a really, really long time. And I think that complex is important to remain intact in germplasm if we want to keep that after happening. And I'm a little bit concerned about companies targeting just B12, which is the strongest. My concern is an evolution from race 18 to something else, and I'm a little bit concerned if we just target a single gene as opposed to the complex, which I think has kept this on just race 18.
That's a good point. I can't answer that question, though. Any more? One more in the back.
So, you said the new variety E1557 and 499. Are you seeing any evidence of linkage drag with these genes or any of these genes that are in these varieties?
I would say, with regards to root knot nematode resistance in particular, I have not seen linkage drag. The experimental line, 3003, line number 10, what we saw this past year, it has excellent yield potential, and actually approaching 499, Dr. Kim Wright. But as far as the 417, 427, it's just the genetic background that it's in. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.